Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Hello, and welcome once again to Whiskey Congress. We got a bit of a weird show for you today because I'm here alone. So Steve had family stuff to take care of and was not available. And last week, we talked to Mike Wood Jr. quite a bit, and we had a bunch of stuff that we didn't actually air. We had some time with Mike and I waiting for Steve to get here, where we just talked about a bunch of stuff, and I thought it was pretty entertaining, and we talked about some media bias and things like that. So we're going to play that for you, along with before we started up the second part of the show, Steve and I got into a conversation about sports in general and a lot of talk about LeBron James. So we're going to play you those two clips. Before that, though, I'm going to do a bit of a one-man show. First of all, I'm going to do a whiskey review on my own, and I'm choosing this very strategically. I'm going to review 10 High. 10 High is a Kentucky bourbon, and it's one of my favorites for value. It is dirt cheap. I have a 1.75 liter bottle that I paid under $20 for, and it's, for the dollar, fantastic whiskey. Now, Steve and I go back and forth because it is not a top-end whiskey by any means. It's not in the category of some of the stuff we've been drinking lately. If you've been following us for a while, the last, 6 weeks, we've been doing nothing but high-end stuff, and I love that, and I'm not going to argue that this is in the same category. However, for $10 for a bottle, or $20 for a 1.75 liter. It's smooth enough. It's got a good flavor. It's on the light side. It's 80 proof, and it doesn't have anything that'll make you say wow. But it's great to make Manhattans with, and I like it because unlike the $70 to $100 bottles of Booker's and Port Charlotte and the other stuff that we've been drinking lately, the Macallans that Steve brought in. This stuff is something where I will make myself a Manhattan with it and not feel like I'm disrespecting the whiskey. And I will pour myself a 10 High Neat, which is what I'm drinking right now, on a Tuesday night for no good reason other than I feel like having a whiskey. And I'm getting something that's satisfying. They're really cheap whiskey is like drinking gasoline. This stuff is really nice. So I'm going to score it an 86. I'm back and forth between 86 and 87. I'm going to give it an 87 just to be controversial. So if Steve listens to this, he can call me out next week. And it'll be fun to hear what comes of that. All right. So that's that. And then I also want to talk about Brett Kavanaugh. So that has been all the talk. And if you go to our website, whiskeycongress.com, you'll see I wrote an article on there. It got carried by Political Storm, or partners at Political Storm. Got quite a bit of feedback on Political Storm, and mostly supportive. And what I basically said was that Brett Kavanaugh should have been suspended in high school when this happened, because he was in high school when this happened. I'm not condoning his behavior, but I am flat out stating without apology that bringing up something that may have happened between two people in high school when the man is now in his early 50s is insane. How far are we going to take this? And I was listening to all kinds of political talk radio this week. I listened to Breitbart, Patriot Channel. I listened to CNN, MSNBC. And listening to the way people describe these events, it's almost like they're talking about two different things. One group is calling him a good family man, and all high school boys do this stuff. That's not as far from true as it probably should be. You listen to the left and this man is a monster and he's been uncovered. It's like, fucking A. This is one of those times where I hate to say it. I understand why the left is doing what they're doing, because Brett Kavanaugh is apparently a very conservative judge and very much pro-presidential powers, and they don't want to see him on the Supreme Court for the rest of his life. And I get it. Unfortunately, the Democrats lost the election, and that's what happens when Supreme Court justices retire. The next guy up is whoever the president appoints. People have said many times, political talk radio, Merrick Garland should have been the nominee. Yes, he should have. What the Republicans did with Merrick Garland when Obama appointed him with about a year to go in his term, their stall tactics were disgusting from an ethics standpoint, in my opinion. And I wish the Democratic Party could have done something about it, but again, they couldn't. They didn't at the time. They didn't have the majority in the House or the Senate, still don't. And I think what the Democrats are clearly doing here is trying to stall long enough for the midterm elections to come. But even that isn't going to prevent this guy from getting approved by the Senate. So Brett Kavanaugh will be a Supreme Court justice. It sucks. And I'm pretty annoyed with the Democrats for playing the same game, just, you know, refusing to admit that, okay, this is how the system's supposed to work, and he should be confirmed based on his merits. And if he was a bad boy one day in high school, again, he, as I said in my article, you know, retroactively suspend him for 2 days in high school and then admit that we're not going to win this fight. It's not a fight worth having. It shows the pettiness in politics and the left-wing media. I was listening to Pod Save America, which is a podcast I like, but they are true dyed-in-the-wool liberals, and they're just pounding this narrative that, you know, this man is a monster. Well, he may have been an asshole in high school, maybe consistently. This is not a Roy Moore case. Roy Moore was accused of molesting and assaulting women when he was in his 30s and they were in their teens. Brett Kavanaugh is being accused of doing something when he was 17 years old. And by the way, he was accused of being drunk at the time he did it, which means he should also be suspended an extra day for drinking alcohol underage. So there, I'm cracking down now. Anyway, the whole thing is ridiculous, in my opinion. It's a fight that will not be won by the Democrats, and frankly, a fight not worth fighting. To me, the move is show that the Democrats should show we don't like this. We've gone through the due diligence. The worst thing we can say is maybe he was groped somebody in high school, and you know we're gonna, unlike you guys with Obama's appointee, we are going to do the right thing and go through the process and then vote against the guy if you think he honestly shouldn't be. I've heard allegations of him lying under oath. That is relevant to being appointed to the Supreme Court, not something you may or may not have done in high school at a party. All right, that rant is done. Last week, we talked a little bit, I think it was the second part of our show, the second show of the week last week, we talked about cannabis a lot. We talked about CBD oil, and I have actually ordered some CBD oil. Something funny happened there, but I'm waiting for the company to get back to me to see if they want to come on and talk about it. But in addition to ordering some online, I bought some hemp oil and some CBD oil in New Jersey, where I'm working right now, where it is completely legal. And first of all, I'm not sure if it's legal in Ohio or not. It's such a weird thing. My understanding is that CBD oil is not legal in the state of Ohio, which is absolutely ridiculous because it is completely non-psychoactive. Steve talked about how much it's helped him feel better and sleep better. I've taken it a couple times. I don't want to fully put my stamp of approval on it yet, but I will say that I feel good. I mean, I've taken it a couple nights. I'll continue taking it at night before bed. And if I keep sleeping well and feeling better and feeling less inflammation in my shoulder and my knees and my feet, I'm going to keep taking this stuff. If it's not legal in Ohio, I'm going to have to figure out a way to keep getting it, and you bet I will. All right, so that's pretty much the rant. We got whiskey. We got my Brett Kavanaugh joke. Or jokes. I wasn't telling jokes. I was just talking about this situation, which is a joke. And I'm hoping to hear back from the company I ordered CBD oil from, because like I said, that'll be a good story. So I'll keep trying to pound that narrative. Again, we're going to talk. I'm going to play for you some of the talk with Mike and I before we got on the air last week, before Steve arrived, and then a little bit of talk we had after Steve got here, and we'd done our first show, and we were waiting to get going again. And as always happens, when the cannabis and whiskey are being consumed, the conversation rarely hits a stop, and it certainly didn't. So we talked a bit of sports and had some fun. Anyway, hope you enjoyed the show. Steve and I hope to be back together next week. It's a little weird talking to an empty chair, which is what I've been doing. So I guess I feel kind of like Clint Eastwood at the Republican National Convention. All right, thanks a lot. Enjoy the rest of the show. Real quick sound check on you, like when I'm actually recording.
Do that in a second. I'm also going to play a video off my screen. I want to see something.
Okay.
How well could you hear that?
Not well at all.
Okay. <hold on. laughs> I like how you said it. Can't hear it, bitch. Hold on. Doing it again.
a little bit about bias, and I'd like to focus on bias for just a second. A member of my staff recently created...
Could you hear that?
I can hear it. It's not real... It's not as loud as your voice, but I can hear it.
I gotta figure out where the fuck the speaker is. So anyway, I was just using it to see if you could hear it.
Okay.
All right, we can always fill it in later so everybody can hear. But that's just that. Took me fucking a half an hour. See, this is what I'm talking about. Like, people, I understand, but I get, I dig into this shit that these guys talk about. It just took me a fucking half an hour to find the video of who was even, who was the one that was questioning Jack Dorsey on the Twitter thing that people were freaking out about, where he was saying about the suggestive followers with no Taylor Swift, no Ariana Grande, no Kim Kardashian, and people were making fun of him for it. It took me a half an hour to find that fucking clip. A half an hour.
You couldn't just go to YouTube Dorsey Congress?
Dude, I did.
Okay.
Over and over. And all you kept getting was these fucking news stories. Because the way the new algorithm works on YouTube, it's whatever was created most recently by the biggest people. So the only place I could find the video was on the dude's Twitter page himself. And he only, or YouTube page, he only has 500 subscribers. The actual rep that said it. That's where I ended up. That's how I ended up finding it. It took me a half an hour to even find out his fucking name.
It's good to know. Yeah, I still don't know his name.
That's what I'm saying.
I
like, it's like, you can't even find the truth. Like, I was getting on Steve because I heard the testimony. And when Steve was saying that he was all ignorant, didn't know what the fuck he was talking about, I was like, Steve, there's no fucking way you listen to that clip. The guy is not ignorant. He knows exactly what he's talking about. And what he says makes perfect sense.
I'm not familiar with the story, so we can do it.
Right. So you guys talked about it last episode. And Steve was talking about how this guy's a complete idiot. He's ignorant. This is what happens when congressional members don't understand technology. And
okay.
He perfectly understands this situation. But you guys, when you read major news sources, you're only getting it through the filter. So you don't know the names. You don't get the full story. You don't. I mean, it's only 4 minutes, but they take the 15 seconds out that makes him look like a dumbass. But if you listen to the 4 minutes, he doesn't sound like a dumbass at all. But it takes me a half an hour to even find the fucking 4 minutes.
Yeah, I mean,
who the fuck else is going to do that?
Nobody. But you know,
exactly.
it's so here's the clip Mike was talking about in its entirety. I'll just play it, and you can, you know, hear it for yourselves.
Duncan for 4 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Ms. Dorsey, thank you for being here. We've heard a lot today about content filters, shadow banning, and a little bit about bias, and I'd like to focus on bias for just a second. A member of my staff recently created a test Twitter account working on a communications project unrelated to this topic, and even before we knew that this hearing was going to take place. They were interested to note who was listed on the suggestions for you to follow list. This is the pro-life conservative congressional staffer on a work computer whose search history definitely doesn't lean left. All they entered was an email address and a 202 area code phone number. Yet here's who Twitter suggested that they follow, and you'll see it on the screen. Nancy Pelosi, Kamala Harris, John Dingell, Chuck Schumer, John Kerry, Ben Rhodes, David Axelrod, Kirsten Gillibrand, Jim Acosta, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Paul Krugman, Madeleine Albright, Claire McCaskill, Chuck Todd, and John Lovett, all left-wing political types. That's all she got as suggested for you to follow. Forget the fact that there aren't any Republicans or conservatives on that list. No singers, no actors, no athletes, no celebrities. She's a 20-something female staffer. Didn't even get Taylor Swift, Chris Pratt, Cristiano Ronaldo, or Kim Kardashian. All she got was the suggestions that I had on the screen. Look, it's one thing not to promote conservatives, even though Donald Trump is truly the most successful Twitter user in history of the site. Say what you want about what he tweets, but President Trump has utilized Twitter in unprecedented ways to get around the traditional news media. I would think that someone in your position would be celebrating that, and him, rather than trying to undermine him. So how do you explain how a female 20-something-year-old who just put in an email address and a 202 area code, why does she only get the liberal suggestions?
We simply don't have enough information in that case to build up a more informed suggestion for him. So for her, so the 202 number is all we have. So therefore,
so I get that you don't have much information on her. 100% of the suggested followers were biased. Where was Kim Kardashian? Huge Twitter. Where was Taylor Swift? Where was Ariana Grande? In fact, I can look at Twitter most followers, and they're not these people that you suggested for her. And there was nothing in her on her search history and on a government work computer to suggest that she was left-leaning, right-leaning, or anything. Katy Perry, number one. She wasn't on this list. How do you explain that?
I think it was just looking at the 202 as a D.C. number and then taking D.C.-based accounts and the most followed probably or most engaged with D.C. accounts. As
in the 202 area code area?
In the 202 area.
Okay. Where's Bryce Harper? Where's Ovechkin? Where are the Capitals? Where are the Nats? Where's D.C. United? Where are the sports teams? If you're going to use 202 area code and say that's one of the filters, where are those folks? You know, outside of the political arena, there are no athletes, there are no singers, there are no celebrities. There were only suggested political figures of a very liberal persuasion that were suggested for her to follow. Nobody else. That shows bias, sir.
Well, yeah, I mean, we do have a lot more work to do in terms of our onboarding, and obviously you're pointing out some weaknesses in our signals that we use to craft those recommendations. As she continues, if she were to start following particular accounts or engaging with particular tweets, that model would completely change based on those. We just don't have enough information. It sounds like we are not being exhaustive enough with the one piece of information we do have, which is her area code.
Mr. Dorsey, let me ask you this. Sure. After this hearing and me clearly showing this bias and a lot of the other questions, if someone in a 202 area code that's 28 years old sets up a Twitter account with very limited information but has an email address and a 202 area code, are you going to tell me today that they're going to get other suggested followers than the liberals that I mentioned?
That is not a good outcome for us.
Gentleman's time's expired. Chair recognizes the lady from California, Ms. Walters.
So I think you can see what Mike's point was there, that not so much, you know, towards Twitter as it was towards how the media covered that. So the media painted that congressman as being a complete idiot and showed where's Ariana Grande, where's whatever, when in fact he did make a lucid, solid, logical argument. Mr. Dorsey from, you know, the CEO of Twitter essentially acknowledged it. So there's the whole thing. That's what we were talking about there. I hope you enjoy the rest of the conversation. It gets a bit silly at times, but that's what happens. My example of this, and it's dumb in a way, but do you remember the famous Allen Iverson going nuts and going, "We're talking about practice, man. What are we talking about here? Practice?"
Yeah, I love that. It's fine. What he's saying makes sense.
Well, what he's saying makes sense, but even more so, if you watch the previous minute and a half, the reporters just won't quit fucking asking him. You know, they asked him, you know,
about what he does in practice. Yeah.
But whether or not there was whether or not he skipped a practice or whatever. And, you know, he gets asked the question. He's like, "Look, that's between the coach and I. We work things out. It's fine. You know, let's talk about the game. But what about that practice? Look, I did this." And after the third or fourth person, like, you know, Iverson gets made to look like an impatient idiot in the clips that made it onto SportsCenter or whatever, but he handled it way better than I would have. I would have just, after the third time, I would have said, "Are you fucking deaf? I told you, we're not talking about this. I'm not going to talk. You can ask me any way you want. Shut the fuck up," which would have been a whole lot worse than, "We're talking about practice."
Right.
So, and again, I would have lost my, you can only ask me the same thing so many times where I'm saying, like, what are you not getting? So it's something. I mean, it's obviously, in terms of importance, it's a very different thing. But in terms of concept, it's the same thing. It's here's 15 minutes that will, you know, send things one way, and or 15 seconds. Sorry. And if you watch the full 3 minutes, it's like, okay, this isn't what it appeared. And by the way, the whiskey we chose for today is Booker's, which is the whiskey I served you when you came here, where Steve nearly, like, jumped in front of the glass like he was taking a bullet because I was giving you 130 proof whiskey. He's and he like, knows you're not a drinker.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
That motherfucker probably puts ketchup on his steak.
No, it was more along the lines of it's 130 proof, and with you not being a serious drinker, this was going to put you on the floor.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. I'm a druggie.
Yeah, I know. I don't. Do you build tolerance with?
But alcohol is just another drug.
Right.
Yeah, I'll handle my shit. Don't worry.
Okay. No, I think I may have told you the story before, but I got a real good lesson in like how much worse alcohol is for impairing you than pot. I was at a comedy show a couple of years ago. Like I was. There's a big festival in Cleveland every year, and I'm friends with a lot of the people that perform there and run it. So I was helping them out, and I was like chauffeuring comics back and forth between their hotel and the venue. And after I was done, I ran into one of the guys who I had driven to the venue, and he sits down next to me at the bar. He's like, "Dude, I should never get fucking high with Ramon again." The main guy for this festival is Ramon Rivas, and his Twitter handle is Blazer Ramon. He's well known for his heavy consumption of cannabis products. And this guy sits down and is like, "Dude, I should never smoke weed with Ramon again. I am so fucking high." But he was speaking perfectly clearly. And I'm like, I know when I get, I've unfortunately heard myself drunk many times from doing shows with Steve. And I'm like, I hear myself when I'm a drunken idiot. I'm like, my words are starting to go bad. And I'm like, this guy is perfectly clear, like has perfectly clear motor control despite being baked out of his gourd. And, you know, I'm drunk and I'm like, I can not keep up.
Yeah, I mean, all it does is slow you down in worst case scenario. You know, and sometimes that means on the couch and thinking you're about to die. But, you know, you're not going to die. And the worst you're going to do is lay on that couch for a while.
What's really weird is the guy I work for now is, you know, he runs a consulting firm and I subcontract to him. And he and his friends live in a very affluent part of Cleveland. And they smoke weed constantly.
Oh my God! You mean rich people?
Rich white people?
Drugs? No.
I didn't know how to tell you, Mike. Next time I have to tell you about Santa Claus. But what's so funny is they do it in like, I mean, he uses a vaporizer, which in theory could be tobacco, but you know, they're out in like in the public in their community with no concerns or fears of any consequence. So when, yeah, I mean,
it's why just, would you? When you have property, nobody can affect you.
There's that.
It's just all you need is about, you know, 500 yards in front of your. You don't even need that much. You need about 50 yards in front of your house. What's anybody ever going to do about it?
I mean, they are right on a canal that feeds into Lake Erie, so they've got boats going by them all the time. They're just toking away.
Boats don't matter. You can't sense where smell's coming from.
That's
from
true.
A boat.
That's true.
So
vaporizer don't have the bad smell either. That
what smells like weed if you know what it is. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like I've been around these guys. I've got a few other friends who, you know, smoke the, you know, again.
Vapes are for girls.
What's that?
Vapes are for girls.
Okay. Well,
tell them I said that.
I will.
Straight from my heart. Vapes
absolutely.
Are for girls.
I'll tell them. I got no problem with that. But you know, hanging around a lot of comics, I'm also around people who just plain toke weed, and my one friend just constantly reeked. I mean, I think I could tell you he had entered a room without seeing him because he's just so, you know, smells of weed so strongly.
I use a nail. So you use concentrates and you put it in like a hot ceramic bowl.
Okay.
So I have that in a pen shape, so it kind of looks like a vape, but that's not.
But it's not.
That's what I do to not stink.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I only do it when I can stink, then I'll stink. But when I can't,
that honestly is. So I've been reconsidering my stance on personal use lately because I've been drinking too much and I. You know, I've been dieting. I've lost a fair bit of weight, but when I'm on the road and drinking heavily, it does not help the cause of dieting.
Cannabis does not have a great reputation.
That's true, but it's not because of consumption of the drug. It's consumption of the Doritos.
Yes, I know, but that's really hard to avoid. I tell myself that all the time. And then every time I'm high, I'm looking at that ice cream, and I go, fuck it, I'm out of the ice cream.
Okay. Yeah, well.
I don't know. I mean, I just don't know. I think it's the right move in the fact that you wouldn't be killing your liver.
There's that.
You wouldn't be going through things where you have impairment of judgment.
Well, I might as well have impairment of judgment, but that's a different definition altogether. No, not because of cannabis, just because of me.
Oh. That's not what I meant, but yes. And, I mean, I don't know. That's about it. You're in a place where it's illegal, so that sucks.
Yeah. Is it legal in Arizona? I wouldn't
think
so.
It's not legal. It's medicinal.
Okay. See, Ohio Ohio has legal medical, but...
Oh, well, then you're fine.
Well, but in order to get qualified for medical, you need to have, like...
A good doctor.
It's really hard to get your medical marijuana card in Ohio. It's like you have to have one of these five conditions certified by a doctor. It's not like California where they said, oh, doc, my foot hurts.
You just need a good doctor still. You still just need a good doctor.
All right.
I mean, well, I've never been in a medicinal state where there was any chance I wasn't going to get one. All you need is to have a good doctor. You just got aspirin.
Yeah, I'm sure if I knew the right crowds, but most of the people I know just get it. Possession of 1 ounce or less in Ohio, I believe, is a $35 fine.
Oh, well, then who gives a shit?
Right.
It's decriminalized then.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Because then the cops aren't even going to bother because it's just a waste of time.
I don't know. What I just told you, I have heard from multiple sources that I trust. I don't think I've ever looked it up myself.
Cops are graded by arrests, not by citations.
Right. Okay. Oh, no, I'm just saying my statement that it was just a violation. I have heard that from multiple people multiple times. I don't know anyone who's ever gotten in trouble for possession of small amounts. Now, I don't know what happens when you go over 1 ounce.
1 ounce is a pretty good amount of weed.
Yeah.
If you get busted for more than an ounce of weed as a user, you're stupid.
Okay.
I don't mean to insult them.
No, that's what.
An ounce is a full sandwich bag.
Okay. I know how much an ounce weighs. If I've
it weighs an ounce, dude.
Well, I know an ounce is, but I don't know what weighs more, an ounce of pot or an ounce of cocaine. They weigh the same. But I don't know the density of it, so I don't know like how much space that would take up. But if it's a sandwich bag, that's a substantial amount. And most of my friends who do the vaping stuff, they get the oil and they get it from a friend in Michigan. And I think Michigan has more lax laws. I actually just ordered some CBD oil, like sublingual stuff, just because a few friends of mine take it and they say, including Steve, and they say it is like great for inflammation. Mm-hmm, so I ordered that just I think yesterday, and so that which made me curious because the place I ordered it from said we only trust this one farm and they're we're at our limits, so it's we've slowed down production a little slowed down deliveries a little bit, and so that made me think that doesn't come from the leaves of a pot plant or a hemp plant. It comes from like the stems
it's throughout.
What's that? Okay. Well, I think you can make it from hemp from non psychoactive.
No. CBD is in hemp. Yeah. So you can make it from hemp or you can make it from.
Well, I thought to myself, I'm getting a little bit deep. I'm frankly also stalling for Steve.
That's okay.
It's okay. As long as we're not screwing up your day.
I'm just sitting here.
All right. Anyway,
waiting to smoke this blunt that I'm waiting on because you're supposed to start the show.
Yeah, I know.
It's just sitting here.
I've got a glass of whiskey in front of me that I've touched. I haven't hit it hard yet, but
you're cheating. I haven't cheated.
I shouldn't have told you.
It's only cheating when you get caught.
Exactly. So anyway, I thought, me and a friend have been trying to find a way to get into the medical marijuana growing business in Ohio. So I'm trying to become the first person ever to grow weed without ever having smoked it,
that's done a million times already.
Oh, okay, damn it.
Sorry.
So you're really good killjoy today.
That's what I do.
But anyway, so I thought, if I can get CBD out of hemp, maybe we can start with that and make some money off of it if we can do a good job.
Already been done.
Well, I'm sure it has, but it's apparently illegal to grow hemp in Ohio.
Right, they're fighting that right now all over these states, so that's what you have to do. You have to get the hemp law overturned. And then.
Joe Rogan has been blasting about that for years, and I think his premise is wrong. I think his premise is that hemp is illegal because it's the Hearst family.
It is.
See, I've heard that disputed. I've heard mixed things about that. I'm not saying it's beyond the possibility that the Hearst family would crush an industry under using lies because it was in their economic best interest.
Not one person can do it.
Right. But you think it was, so it was the paper industry?
Yeah, it's cotton. Yeah, cotton did it.
Cotton did it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I mean, Washington was a hemp farmer.
As in George Washington?
George Washington was a hemp farmer.
I think a lot of those guys used cannabis,
didn't
they?
He wasn't a tobacco farmer. He was a hemp farmer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he grew up doing the hemp and doing everything else, using it for all of its myriad of uses, and it was everywhere. It's literally a weed. So it's super easy to grow, high productivity, and it was taking over the cotton industry. And the cotton industry is who had the money, because any fucking Joe Schmo can grow hemp and cannabis.
Okay. Joe Rogan's theory that it was the paper industry and it was the Hearst newspaper business was the driving force. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things playing a role. You also had just the concept of trying to demonize Mexicans.
Right.
Played a big role. I mean, really, I mean, when we talk about being woke, calling it marijuana is incredibly racist. If you're going to call Mexican a race, or it's at least ethnicist or whatever, it's the word is used as a direct insult because people didn't like Mexicans, so they use the Mexican word to demonize the plant. It's not marijuana. It's a totally made-up word. It's cannabis.
Cannabis sativa, I believe.
Well, it depends. You have
or indica, plants. Yeah.
Well, there's three. There's cannabis sativa, cannabis ruderalis, and cannabis indica. Indica is from India. Sativa is from... Fuck. I thought it was from like this area, but I don't know for sure.
Southwest
U.S. The Brooks is like what almost everything is now. So there really is no sativa and indica in existence, really.
Well, they're all hybrids?
Everything's just so mixed together. It's not anything anymore.
Well, the good news is I'm adjusting my sound accordingly. So Steve's giving us plenty of time to get. It's funny. The bonus episode that we just put out got jacked up, and I have no idea what the fuck happened. And I spent like 4 hours
fighting.
No, I fixed it. Not to hurt my arm, pat myself on the back, but I went through all kinds of shit to get that right, and I really enjoyed doing that because it was one of our more relaxed fuck around and and drink episodes, and I thought I was going to get lost, and then I ended up doing all kinds of crazy shit. Do you use Audacity or you use something different, right?
Depends what I'm doing. So I don't edit with Audacity. I edit with PowerLink.
Okay.
So actually, the way I do it is I edit in a video editor. And just pull the audio out. So I'll edit a YouTube video. And the way CyberLink works is you can, while you're working on an edit video, you can like cut, pull sound out, separate sound from video, all kind. You can like pretty much do anything. And then you take it out and you can put it into their proprietary editor and change the sound and just click the button and then it goes right back into your production. It's all like Link software. It's pretty cool. It was like $300, but I think it was totally worth it.
Yeah, the video you did when you and I spoke when I was in I was in North Carolina, I think. I saw the videos that you overlaid on top of it. That really came out great. I mean,
the new Nuance one sounds freaking awesome. My whole theme for Nuance I love now.
I haven't seen new episodes in the last couple of months. Am I missing them?
I just did one.
Okay.
It was a bonus episode though.
Okay, I'll look for it.
Yeah, I'll get to them eventually. I got too much shit going on. But it's the bonus episode in the production. It's Jess is singing in the video, and Steph's band plays in the beginning and the end. And now all my stuff is, it has a theme. The whole theme and all my transitions and everything is modern digital interference overlaid with analog digital interference or analog interference. So it'd be like a teletype coming in with a modem. It'd be a TV, an analog TV, like changing channels and having static with something else that's modern digital thing going through. So I keep doing these, this whole overlay on the sound sounds really neat.
Hold on, I have a new text message coming in. I'm guessing it's gonna be Steve saying 5:30.
You can see the new Nuance videos. Pull it up if you're bored. It looks pretty cool. Got this thing with Jess at the beginning and all.
I'll check.
Yeah, because the first 3 minutes, the first 1 minute will show you what I'm talking about with the sounds and the videos. Really.
I'm using my computer to record it. So he said less than 10 minutes out. Let me see if I can minimize this and keep recording. Is it on, it's on YouTube, you said?
Yeah. Online. My YouTube is so funny. I started making videos with like 970 subscribers.
Okay.
And ever since I started making videos, I now have 914 subscribers. I'm so offensive that the more I talk, I lose listeners.
Well, sometimes it seems to me like you're seeking out, like, to irritate people. Like, when you posted the thing about, you know, we were attacked on 9/11 because we were assholes, I know what you're saying. I know why we were attacked, but I also know why that's not going to make friends.
Yeah, but at no point in time is anyone else ever going to listen. If I say that April 4th, it's irrelevant.
True.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm tired of it. Like, I mean, it's not that I'm playing contrarian. I mean, I really feel like, if people come out and say the dumbest fucking things, and I say, hey, that's, like, not what happened. Like, it kind of gets turned into me being an asshole. But if, like, nobody went, we weren't protecting anything by invading Iraq. We're not fucking heroes for that.
Iraq had nothing to do with it. And anyone who doesn't know that at this point, I just don't know what. So I typed in Nuance, Mike.
Now you could just type in Michael Wood or whatever. I don't know. My YouTube channel, I just fucking. It says MB02.
Let's see. Your Joe Rogan stuff pops up, and then your fight with that Rizzo guy.
Put Michael Wood, then put NB02.
NB02?
Yeah, that's just the episode number. Should come right up.
Let's see if you can hear this through my computer.
No, I won't be able to.
An error occurred. Please try again later. Crime identity politics. Okay, I'll check it out later.
It's really cool the way it starts. I had this really new, this just figuring out my shit. You know, after you take time messing with it, you start to figure out what you're doing.
Oh,
and it was such a pain. I had to keep editing shit because I had Elvis in there, and just like fucking 13 seconds of Elvis kicked the video off.
They're good. I mean, and it's annoying as fuck, but they're good at that.
It's just a sound algorithm.
Okay, but it's still pretty incredible to me that it can take 13 seconds of the millions of minutes out there and find it and say, get, you know, I guess it's probably seconds. it's going through a filter, so I'm sure there is a trigger, but still it's
got to pass through the gate.
The notion that we're not living in a constantly monitored state is just nuts. I mean,
the globalism, you mean?
Well, yeah, well, not really globalism, just that.
For global corporations, they need to have our data.
If you think about, like, if you wanted to keep track of where I was today, I've got four or five electronic, you know, interactions every day. I'm logged onto a computer right now. You could find me through that. You know.
But you know what you also have?
A lot of cool
four
shit.
Or five ways to deceive the authorities.
Well, that's true. If I
could put my cell phone in a fucking Uber and go in the other direction.
Right.
And then I'm going to go.
Except they're and you can introduce that data, that information, and they'll say, you know, that'll never get introduced to trial in a criminal case if it doesn't suit their cause.
Well. If
your defense attorney's worth a fuck. After sitting on a jury, my faith in the whole process, which wasn't particularly strong to begin with, went out the window. And I also, the idea that in this country, someone can introduce a jailhouse confession as valid evidence is just fucking nuts.
Well, there's a chapter in my book that you haven't read called Confidential.
I've read your book. I've read your, but it's amazing to me. I mean, like,
well, that's what the chapter says, right? Yeah, this is fucking ridiculous. It is. Are you kidding?
You give someone an incentive. I'm listening to, so I still listen to Bob Ruff's podcast, and
he's a good guy.
He's a great, great guy. And the Ed Eights, the guy who's Casey investigated in Texas, got released from prison last week. He got paroled without admitting guilt, which almost never happens.
Yeah, that's true. Usually after, like, essentially you get, like, early reprieve.
Yeah, he said basically, I'd rather die in prison than admit to something I didn't do. So they still have to go through the whole, you know, prove actual innocence thing. But he's out of jail after, I think, 19 years in. And he got put in jail by a jailhouse informant who lied. And I know the jailhouse informant lied because that's how Bob Ruff got the case. The guy, Bob Ruff took this other guy named Kenny Snow's case. And Kenny Snow says, you need to look into this case involving Ed Ace. Ed Ace is in jail based on false testimony from a jailhouse informant. And I know because I am that jailhouse informant. And they made me an offer. And I lied about this guy to take a deal.
That's pretty honorable of him.
Yeah. Well, other than the original.
I don't blame people for that. No, I will throw your ass under the bus to stay home with my daughter. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I understand what happens.
Just being honest. Don't say I never deceived you.
Yeah. That's why. That's why I'm not. Well, it doesn't matter if I tell you shit. If I ever get put in a cell with you, I'm like, I need to get out of here now.
You better get the fuck out of there. Don't ever commit a crime with me if we get caught. I am eliminating witnesses like a motherfucker.
Say, not only would I say I need to get out of here, you're like, too late. I ordered him. He confessed. All right. So, if I didn't say so, Steve's text was be here in 10 minutes, and that was about 5 minutes ago, so we should be good to go.
We could always cut this out, and you could have it as another thing. You know, the way the algorithms work, you have to keep putting out shit if you really want to have people do it. Like, once a week probably isn't enough. You should probably be filming 2 hours and dropping a midweek.
I believe Steven just entered the house. You know, I like doing the two episodes a week thing. Timing doesn't always allow it, but we could release this as Nuance Whiskey Congress behind the scenes. We're not actually recording anything, that we're just goofing off. Steven's in the house. The bottle of Booker's is open.
I apologize greatly. I do really apologize. I'm sorry.
He can't
well,
hear
okay, is there me. Anything that your people have a reputation for?
he can't hear you.
Hold on. I know. I was hoping you would relay it.
The question was, do his people have a reputation for anything involving time or something to that effect?
This is a little bit of a. I got my mom came into town for something random for my sister's wedding, and to pick up my aunt who flew in from Texas.
Tell him to stop defending himself.
I feel he can hear you now. I feel bad.
Stop defending yourself.
My mom comes in and she runs the whole show. So,
I live 6 months and 9 months in L.A. Everybody's late.
Well, there's that.
There's traffic.
You got to get used to it. It's life.
All right, so let's let Steve get settled for a minute. I mentioned to Mike the rationale for the whiskey. So,
oh, okay, good.
So, we can talk the KKK Thomas the Train thing. If you don't mind, I want to call Kalyan Noir a bitch for ducking you.
I have a note on that, but. Because I really wish they would do this stuff. I mean, this is so... It's one of those things that also doesn't get talked about that I bitch about in media. Like, the right wing will sit here and talk about Kalyan Noir and Ben Shapiro don't have anybody credible that would debate them. It's like, are you fucking crazy? Like, I said, come on, let's do it. And they'll pretend like it doesn't happen, just like the left pretends, you know, that someone else... It's one of those things where I'm constantly frustrated that I'm here in, like, the middle... of this tribalism that is just completely dishonest.
Well, a lot of it, I call it Pipe Full of Fun Kit number 7, if you get the reference.
I don't.
Foghorn Leghorn and the Dog used to always have, you know, going old school Looney Tunes.
I do know who.
Okay. Foghorn so, Leghorn. So the dog.
Well, I say, I don't know what you're talking about there, Jimmy Lalica.
Very good. So anyway, in one episode, Daffy Duck is selling each of them pranks. To pull on each other. So he's feeding both sides. And eventually they're setting up this giant rubber band contraption to shoot them the other one through a series of pipes that would eventually stuff them into a bottle. and they're pulling the giant rubber band back, and they like pass each other as they're backing up, and they look at each other and goes, Acme Novelty Company, Acme Novelty Company, pipe full of fun kit number 7, pipe full of fun kit number 7. We have been hornswoggled. That's the old one.
Well, I think it's an accurate metaphor or analogy. I can never figure out the difference between. I think metaphor means like, but you also whenever you make an analogy, you're essentially saying like, but I don't know.
I think if it doesn't have like or as, it's not one of them.
Yeah,
I don't remember either.
I'll never get it straight.
All right, I am going to stop this recording for now, but I'm going to save it, and then we had an extensive marijuana conversation before
you came out. Goddamn racist. It's cannabis.
Sorry, that's right. It's racist to call it marijuana, apparently. It's new to Steve.
I know, because most people don't know why it's called marijuana.
You know, I think I've heard someone say that before, but I don't remember who. Maybe it was you. All right, let me pause this. I'm gonna shut this down, and then we'll get Steve situated with whiskey, and we'll figure out how we're going to get this started and get back on the clock, okay? What's the board? So, all right, so we're sorry, Steve's scribing right now. Do you want to start with NRA and the whole goofy, we start with the NRA and the whole goofy ad, and then we can transition from that into, yes, whiskey slash cannabis, because Mike's going to chime in on that, I believe.
It's the Cannabis Caucus.
The Cannabis Caucus, the Whiskey Congress and the Cannabis Caucus, okay. And then so we go to the NRA ad, the NRA thing can lead us into the NRA also saying that had the guy in Dallas been armed, he might have saved his own life, so more guns is the answer again, even though that's technically encouraging shooting.
Good segue, Jim. Good segue.
Thank you very much. So we can go from that to that, and then, Steve, I can't look at my Slack because I've got my phone tied up.
And then we're protesting, so then we can lead into Nike.
Okay, then we can go from there into Nike. By the way, Steve,
Elon Musk. I want to talk about that.
Okay, Elon Musk on smoking pot on Rogan's.
No, not necessarily. Okay. I just hate Elon Musk. Period.
I love Elon Musk. Okay,
let's talk about it.
Elon Musk,
as Machine Gun Kelly would say.
Okay, Machine Gun Kelly from Cleveland, Ohio.
I didn't know that. I just knew because of this thing with. I've never seen anything until I heard the whole Eminem and him arguing thing.
Okay, so after Elon Musk, what do we got? And by the way, Steve. I am wearing the Nike socks that were discussed on the previous episode without having cut the emblem off or setting them on fire.
Way to go, child labor supporter.
Actually, if you heard on the last episode.
I don't even know if that's true.
Oh, no, I've boycotted Nike since the 90s because of their labor practices, but these were given to me by my aunt, and I'm not going to throw them out or burn them or especially burn them while they're on my feet. In protest.
So Trump and Hurricane Maria.
Trump and Hurricane Maria.
Which one's Maria?
The one in Puerto Rico that Trump was claiming that the Democrats were lying about the number of deaths to make him look bad, when in fact he did a great unsung job.
God, man, I don't know where you got that story from, but okay.
That's enough for now. I'm sure the conversations will flow. All right. Now I'm shutting it down. I'm recording again just because who knows what will happen in this next few minutes.
Well, his ring.
Nailed it.
Jim la 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 la
la la la la la.
Are you two feeling good about yourselves?
No, it's kind of like a thing. It's like an ethnic thing.
It is? Well.
You. Look at you with your fun and ethnic.
There was a guy named Pat LaFontaine who played for the Buffalo Sabres. Whenever he scored the goal, the announcer would be like, la 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 Fontaine with the goal. So that's, you're making me feel like Pat LaFontaine.
You have the uncanny ability
to derail this hit
to bring shit down with terrible white people shit.
That was my goal in this case, and I nailed it.
Oh, God.
Hockey. I want to start going to the Coyotes games.
Good.
I like hockey.
Hockey games are fun. I joke, I tease, but I enjoy a good hockey game in person. Can't watch it on TV.
In person, it's unbelievable.
I imagine going to Suns games is probably just too much of a pain in the ass and too difficult.
Why?
Because isn't it getting basketball game seats hard?
No, I don't. So not small. Not in Phoenix.
No.
Oh, hockey. No. They probably play in the same arena.
And Phoenix is not good. Like the Suns aren't good. So you should.
But then what? Then I don't want to watch them. They suck.
Well, watch, you don't watch know. Like, you don't. What, you don't know the difference.
I think that was moderately racist, Steve.
How is it racist?
White people can't tell the difference between good basketball and bad basketball?
People who don't watch basketball can't tell the difference between good and bad.
Well, they can see a scoreboard.
Well, I do watch the finals every year.
Well, so you've seen Cleveland 3 years in a row, and you won't be seeing them next year.
Well, I'm a big LeBron fan, so.
So am I. Too. Oh, my God.
I get why people contend him being the best, but I think overall, like all around, I don't know how it's arguable.
I agree.
Someone put an argument out there that said, other than the rings, right?
Okay.
Explain to me how Jordan is better than LeBron, right? You can't use, well, Jordan's got six rings as an argument. Like, go skill set for skill set down the line and show me where Jordan is better, right? Because
he looks better offensively to me, just looking at it.
I don't think I'd go along with that. I think.
Yeah, I mean, just look at it. I think he probably is, but like to control a game and tempo, I don't think he can.
The thing is, LeBron is a power forward who can play essentially all five positions, mm-hmm. and score and play defense.
Agreed.
And Jordan was, I think, with almost without a doubt, the best two guard ever to play the game. Yep. But he could not have moved up to a three or five, four or five, and succeeded. So the only guy I would have argued if I'm starting a team from scratch and you have to pick one guy historically at his best, the only guy I would start a team with other than LeBron would be maybe Magic Johnson.
Yeah. Because I agree with that.
Magic Johnson was just so freakishly good offensively. He wasn't great defensively.
And the thing you have to remember about Magic Johnson is his career gets short by the whole HIV diagnosis thing.
True.
And so if you take that away, how much longer would he have played, and then how much more would he have done? Now, if you looking at the time, that was, I believe, his seventh or eighth year in the league, right? No, it was
more than that. He came out in 79, and he was diagnosed in 92.
Oh, yeah, that's further. I'm sorry. I thought that. No, Jordan came out in 80.
Jordan came out in 80. Three or four, 83,
right.
I think.
Right, okay. And so Magic and Bird came out the same year out of Indiana State and Michigan State in 79. Yeah, you're right. Okay. So Magic Johnson is 11 years into the league when he gets his diagnosis, and then he tried to, I think he played for a part of a season, but everyone's like, bro, if you cut yourself, you ruin it. So, who knows how much longer he played or would have played had he not been diagnosed with HIV, and who knows what he would have done from a statistical standpoint, to put himself out there. And who knows how much more he would have actually been able to win had they been able to keep things together, because once he was removed from that Lakers team, that Showtime team, that team was basically dismantled, and then it all kind of like fell apart, and then Pat Riley went on to the Knicks, and then,
what if it's one-on-one, though?
With LeBron versus who?
Like, I can't imagine any player other than, like, Shaq having a chance against LeBron.
Shaq would get destroyed by LeBron.
Shaq wouldn't have a chance.
But, I mean, like, just even other than, like, he's the only one I'm even thinking wouldn't be physically dominated.
Oh, he would be. It would be.
Yeah, speed-wise, right?
Speed-wise, like, I just watched the other day, LeBron, it was a bunch of guys, they had a pickup game somewhere in California at, like, some just random gym. And it was all these guys, LeBron, Carmelo, Ben Simmons, like all the big names. I say Carmelo, but I mean, Carmelo stinks. But a bunch, it was all these guys, right? Paul George, they're all there. Kevin Durant. And the things LeBron was doing, he was literally like, these guys are all in the NBA. They're all stars, right? But no pressure, no rules, no refs. LeBron toyed with every single, like, it wasn't an edited video. It was just 5 minutes straight of up and down the court. LeBron was taking the ball. Like, LeBron took the ball from Kevin Durant, ran down the court, and everyone thought that he was going in to go dunk, so they were all going to protect the rim. He pulled up about 2 feet from half court and just drilled a three easy, and just shook his finger at him and kind of laughed. Came back, stole the ball again, and then he went full speed, and I thought he was going to tear the rim off the backboard. Like, what LeBron can do, it's literally, it's uncanny, right? Like, you really haven't seen a person.
When he did that block in the finals, I was like, that's it, greatest player to ever play the game.
Because when they did a thing on ESPN where they calculated the speed that he ran and the height that
when he
blocked the shot when they won the championship, and they said that it was some crazy amount of speed that it took, and they said the timing to get the ball at its highest point so that it wasn't a goaltending. The timing that it takes is crazy, but the where he actually blocked that shot, right? Like, I mean, like, he could have grabbed
the top of the board,
right? Like, he could have grabbed. Like, do you realize how high that is? Like, I can grab a basketball rim. I can grab a 10-foot rim, right? But like, I can get 2 inches above a 10-foot rim, right? And I'm just like, that's great. I jump high, you know, like, I weigh 300 pounds, and that's awesome. Go fuck yourself. You can't do that. Right? And then he goes and he jumps 4 feet higher than that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he jumped.
At 260 pounds.
Right. At 40 pounds less than me, right? Which isn't that much.
Now he's starting at 6'9".
Right. I mean, he's a hell of a lot taller, but still, the fact is that he can touch the top of the backboard. And if I tried to do that, I'd probably throw something out, like a vertebrae.
Or both your knees and all of your vertebrae.
Right.
If you do the greatest of all time based on one-on-one, the only guy I can see making a case would be Kevin Durant, just because he's so long that he could maybe athletically keep up defensively.
He can't.
You're probably right.
He would just body him. So
Kevin Durant can't stop. Like, Mike, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, like, one-on-one. It's crazy because during games, when there's other people to help Durant,
then there's space,
right? Like, I mean, like, if it's just one on one, like Kevin Durant, he's maybe a couple inches taller than LeBron, but like, LeBron outweighs him by 60 pounds.
No, it's like 20. Come on, Kevin Durant weighs him way more than that.
Kevin Durant's
got to be 240.
No,
he has to.
No, he's not. Jim has to be. Kevin Durant.
He's 6'11".
They threw a party for him when he got to fucking 215 pounds. And that was 5 years into his NBA career.
All right. I mean,
he's
skinny. He is that skinny. Come on.
He is okay. Chris Rock, CB4, New Jack City, skinny.
All right.
Two great movies, by the way.
I just watched Chris Rock's new Netflix special on the flight back. I love Chris Rock. As you know, if you listen to the show. All right. We're going to get back into it. We're going to talk. You want to talk Elon Musk and we want to talk Trump. Honestly, I'm going to cut and paste this to like a bonus thing also. This is fun, but really not what we intended to talk about. You ready to get back started up business-wise, Mike?
Sure.